You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart. San Luis Obispo County has a special taxing district dedicated solely to attracting tourism to the area. Visit SloCal is a nonprofit focused on branding the county as a travel destination for people around the world. I recently spoke with Chuck Davison, president and CEO at Visit SloCal, about what visitors like about Slo County, what they don't like, and when to draw the line on too much tourism.
My name's Chuck Davison. I'm the president and CEO at Visit SloCal, the countywide tourism nonprofit marketing district.
And what is it that you guys do?
Yeah, so we focus on bringing people to San Luis Obispo County as a destination. We spend our time and our effort marketing to people who live outside of the beautiful destination that we call home, trying to attract them here as visitors.
And how many people work at this organization?
Yes, so we have a very small team of 8 people representing the 3,600 square miles here in San Luis Obispo County.
You have an office in downtown San Luis?
We do. Our office is located at 1334 Marsh Street, just outside of the downtown corridor of San Luis Obispo.
And you said district, so how is it that you guys are funded?
Yeah, it's a great question that we get often. So in 2014, the tourism market in the county was a bit fragmented, and so each of the individual communities were working in silos.
Which different communities do you mean?
So Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Morro Bay, Paso Robles, and then the unincorporated area of the county, which makes up San Simeon, Cambria, Cayucas, Oceano, Napomo, the Avila Valley. All of those were working kind of by themselves on their own effort, competing against each other. And the lodging community in San Luis Obispo, which is made up of about 200 hotels and about 3,000 vacation rentals, decided that they really wanted to see a more unified effort across the county. So we as a destination are competing with people like Santa Barbara and Monterey, who are marketing themselves as a complete community rather than individual municipalities. And so the lodging group in our county led an effort to establish what's called a tourism marketing district. And that is bringing a unification of all the communities together under an umbrella of what's now known as SloCal, San Luis Obispo County. And so that started in 2015, and we're funded by a 1% assessment. So different than a tax, which requires 2/3 vote of the general population on a ballot initiative, many of which we'll see this coming November. An assessment is a group of local businesses that raise their hand and say, please allow me to charge a certain fee and pass that on to the consumer so that we can use it for marketing of the work that we do. So you see that for downtown associations or business improvement districts. In our case, it's a tourism marketing district. So each of the hoteliers, along with the vacation rentals, RV parks, bed and breakfasts, all pay into this assessment over the course of a year. So if you were to stay in a hotel and they were to charge you $100, you would see a 1% additional fee, an additional dollar on your hotel bill, which is then remitted to us at the end of every month, and we use that to market the county.
So 200 hotels in the whole county?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I live in Morro Bay, and it seems like there's 200 just in Morro Bay. And 3,000 vacation rentals in San Luis Obispo County. Wow. Didn't know that. Okay. And do you come up in-house with like campaigns, like marketing slogans and stuff like that? Or do you contract with advertising agencies?
Yeah. So depending on the level, a little bit of both. But everything that we do is rooted in data and research. So in the case of our brand, we hired a brand consulting agency actually based in Virginia Beach that's an expert in the tourism marketing space. And through research and assessment, they developed the SloCal brand. And, you know, one of the challenges that we have is San Luis Obispo County is an extremely long name to say. Outside of about a 5-hour radius, nobody has any idea how to say Obispo, and nor do they know where it's located. And so as we started doing some of our traveling efforts, as we worked on the investments in Seattle and Denver on the new flight initiatives, in which we invested over $1 million to get those flights here, as we started to travel overseas to the United Kingdom and China and, you know, down into Mexico, Mexico and into Canada, we realized that people had no idea where San Luis Obispo County was. And so we wanted to create a unified brand that helped people, one, a brand that people could get behind and understand, but two, a brand that would resonate. And so the acronym, obviously, of SLO is part of the county and part of the city that we're fortunate enough to get to do work on the behalf of. But CAL is something that's known no matter where you are in the world. So as we do business in China, when we're sitting talking to our constituents and our counterparts over there, they look at CAL and they say California, because everybody over there wants to come to the United States and everybody wants to visit the coastline of California. So that brand was established through a bunch of research. But in that case, we used an outside agency.
Do you do all kinds of advertising, commercials, television commercials?
Yeah, so we don't do a lot of TV, and that's really based on the fact that, you know, our major feeder markets are Los Angeles and San Francisco here in the state, and then we stretch out to Phoenix, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Denver with the new flight initiatives that we've had. And if you know anything about advertising in the space of San Francisco and Los Angeles, they're two of the top eight most expensive markets in the United States. So dollars don't go very far in those communities. So we spend most of our funds on digital advertising, where we can really geo-target a consumer down to the geography that they live in, but also we target based on persona. So, you know, most education or research-based organizations now have moved away from targeting people based on demographics. For myself, I'm in my mid-40s, and I still like to think I'm 30 years old. So if you're targeting me with an ad that's based on somebody being in their mid-40s, I'm probably not going to look at that ad. So we target people based on persona. What are the things that you like to do? What are the things that you spend time on? And then how do those become the trigger for how you make decisions? So we have three personas that we really focus on. Mom to the Max, which is the family travel environment, the working mother who's making a lot of key decisions for her family, but is looking for the opportunity for her family to escape the busyness of the world, but also the digital impact of people constantly being in front of a digital environment. We target the active adventurer, so the people who are looking to be in the outdoor space and really come to love this beautiful outdoor country that we're fortunate enough to call home here in SloCal. And then we target the cultured class, which is really the people who are looking for a more cultured experience in arts and entertainment. And all of those are rooted in the food and wine experience that exists here in this county.
My colleague up at the public radio station in Monterey did a story where people in Big Sur are saying, we don't want a tourism agency. Stop marketing. Yeah. You know, does anybody say that to you? Like, we don't want any more tourists here.
Yeah, so I think it's a really important point. I mean, for us, tourism and protecting the quality of life in the environment that we live in is really at the heart and core of who we are and what we do. All of us live here because this is the place that we want to call home, and we want to be cognizant of protecting that and not putting ourselves in a position like people in Big Sur. So I think it's balancing that scenario. We really believe that the greatest asset that we have for our economy, for our quality of life, and for our region in general is our destination. And so with tourism as the number two economic driver in the county, only second to agriculture, how do we make sure that it plays a role in who we are but doesn't become something by happenstance that we never intended for it to be? So our organization has really pressed into this, and we're very fortunate to be led by a great group of board of directors who are investors. They all own and operate properties here in San Luis Obispo County, and they're focused equally on how do we make this place a great place for all who encounter it, not only residents who live here, but the visitors who travel here as well. And so we have taken on the responsibility of developing a destination management strategy, a 20 to 30 year look at what this destination should become, rather than, again, by happenstance, becoming something that we never intended for it to be. I use the analogy often in our space that if you were traveling down a road that was infinitely wide and you traveled 60 miles over the course of the day and you were 1 degree off, you'd be off by 1 mile. But if you did that over 365 days, you'd be off by 7,200 miles. we can't afford to be off 1 degree in our approach to the way we manage the destination over the course of 20 to 30 years, because we very quickly become something that we never intended to be. So this process is a really in-depth process. We've hired a great consulting group, Residence Consultancy. They're really the kind of 800-pound gorilla in this space, or the experts who have done it all across the world, Vancouver, British Columbia, Portland, Oregon, the country of Ireland. They do this destination management strategy for a lot of great people. And the process is multi-step. So it's engagement in the community. We've got a great steering committee that's made up of every city manager in the county, along with the county administrator's office for San Luis Obispo, the airport, the EVC, SLOCOG, the Home Builders Association. These are all Cal Poly, all groups who have come to the table to be a part of this process that our investors are spending the money to have done. And so it goes through a series over the course of about 12 months. We did stakeholder engagement, talked to about 135 people in individual interviews to get their feedback on what they thought of the destination, where the opportunities were, and where the challenges were that we needed to make sure we were in front of. From there, we went into a 14-market competitive analysis where we looked at not only traditional competitors like Santa Barbara and Monterey, but also aspirational competitors, places like Asheville, North Carolina, that have a great art scene, great community culture. How do we learn from them and the things that they've experienced? Scottsdale, Arizona, that's got a really cool, lighthearted nightlife scene where they've got our artisan products and great music venues and stuff like that on a small scale, not huge nightlife, but nightlife where, hey, my wife and I would like to go out on a Friday night and have a drink and maybe listen to some live music. How do we create that type of an environment and culture here in our community, in our county? So from that 14-market competitive analysis, we went into a visitor survey where we talked to past visitors who had been to the destination to get their viewpoint on what we did well and what we needed to improve on. And we talked to about 2,100 visitors. And we just completed the next and kind of final phase of the research, and that was a resident survey here in San Luis Obispo County, where we did a huge engagement strategy. We filmed some PSAs with our local mayors to talk about the importance of giving feedback. We worked with Cal Poly to make sure that they got the message out to their faculty and new students who were coming in, who were also residents, but sometimes get left out of the kind of resident component. And we really wanted to look at a broad audience across every single community in our county. And so I'm excited to say we got 5,013 responses to that resident survey, which was 20 minutes online is what it took them to fill that out. So I think it speaks to the level of engagement of the people who are interested in getting in front of this proactively and really, really determining what this destination looks like in the future for our kids and our grandkids. All that information now is being consolidated, and it will be presented back to the steering committee, and then we'll open that up for town halls here in the county, where we'll again ask for resident feedback based on the collection of data that we came across. Here's the things that are kind of bubbling to the top. Here's the concerns that we have, similar to what Big Sur's gone through, but we're trying to get in front of that proactively rather than allow it to happen to us. And so that will all, as we come through the town hall policy, that will all get kind of consolidated from what's likely to be 100 recommendations down into 20 or 30 items that our team, working with the local municipalities and the other key nonprofit and economic organizations around the county, will spend the next 20 to 30 years trying to undertake.
When you had visitors take those surveys, what were some of the things they liked? What were some of the things they didn't like?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that resonates every time we talk to visitors is their love here for the open space. And when you're talking to people who are coming from San Francisco and Los Angeles and Seattle and Denver, where things are moving a mile a minute, right? They love the fact that they can come here and actually disconnect and take a break and spend time with the person that they're traveling with. So we can constantly hear from visitors their love for the open space and the outdoors. And we've done a great job in this county. There's more work to be done, but we've done a great job in this county protecting that open space environment. We're really excited about Pismo Preserve is getting really close to opening, and that's going to be another great avenue of open space for our county. So we heard that. One of the things they didn't like, they struggled based on the communities they come from with the level of customer service in our county. You know, they're used to being able to show up at a restaurant and be, you know, greeted and serviced in a way that, you know, might happen in places like Los Angeles, but sometimes doesn't happen as often here. So as we get through the recommendations, if that's one of the things that bubble to the top, then we'll look to develop a customer service initiative for the service industry in the county, restaurants, wineries, you know, breweries, entertainment venues, retail, to help them achieve the objective of how to meet the needs of the visitor.
Got it. Okay. And do you get politically involved? Do you go to city council meetings when they're, say, deciding, like, whether to put a new housing development that would kind of sprawl out the city? Do you weigh in on that those kind of things?
So, yeah, depending on the issue, we do weigh in. We when we undertook this destination management strategy, we went kind of all in on the approach. We went out and hired a vice president of community engagement and advocacy who's running that program for us on a day-to-day basis. Her name's Christine Robinson. She's extremely well-versed. She formerly worked for Cal Poly, and before that, she was chief of staff for the California State Senate. So she understands the political process and how things work. We just helped co-author with the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce just last Friday a letter to Governor Jerry Brown in support of SB 1090, the work that's taking place around the funding for the closure of Diablo Nuclear Power Plant. So that was a huge political scenario where Christine worked with the SLO Chamber, and we developed a coalition letter that we're excited to say 26 organizations here in the county signed on to support as we sent that up to the governor's office last week. So depending on the issue, I mean, the interesting thing is all the issues that have a tendency to kind of rear up in our county are issues that ultimately affect tourism. And people don't really think of it that way. But when you talk about homelessness or workforce housing, you know, homelessness affects tourism because if a visitor has a bad experience with a homeless person, they might not return to the community. And those people need love and support and help, too. So how do we find a way to take care of the homeless community, the people who are struggling, but also make sure that we're providing an environment that's safe and friendly for a visitor? Or if you talk about workforce housing, you know, the people who work in tourism, they need a place to live and work as well. And they don't want to have to commute 50 miles to where they have to work every day. They want to live and work and enjoy the community, you know, that they're in. And so how do we provide an environment for that? So all of those types of issues, talent development, you know, whatever those issues might be, are issues that are typically extremely important to us.